Well, this week you're going to have a blessing to hear Tom Schieffer. He's going to be sharing a lot of the mission work that's been going on and he's been involved with. We are very blessed as a congregation, as a church, to work with so many mission partners and be involved in so much mission work throughout the world. And you're going to get a chance to hear that. But Lord, during this last song, he really laid something really heavy upon my heart. And that is this upcoming sermon series that we're going to launch into next week. It's called We Are Freed. And he laid upon my heart that so many of us, so many believers, because you can be a believer and battle with strongholds, powerful strongholds that are in your life. And God wants to do a great work over this next 8 weeks to remove those strongholds and to break the bondage that so many believers in this house and so many believers that are listening online and on the radio. He wants to do some major work. So this will be an important series that we're going to launch into. And he's really laid upon my heart that we need to invite people. We need to invite people in our circles that we know are struggling, that we know are hurting, that we know are going through battles, because he doesn't want it just to be for this house. He wants it to be going outside the walls of this church. So, my friends, the next 8 weeks, go on a mission to invest and invite people into this house to hear what God wants to do in their lives. Amen? Tom, we'll turn it over to you, my friend.
Thank you. It is just such a joy to be back with you. This is a unique day, and it's special, and I thank Pastor Tom for allowing the opportunity. It's going to be air hose. We are going to fly, because it's not just Burundi, it's Argentina, it's General Conference, it's you. I have a testimony of God with you to share today that's just absolutely incredible. I entitled this To All the Nations. We're going to get to some of that here in just a second, but this is being interesting already. I love it. It's yes. Ba-boom. Anyhow. So what we'll probably do is we'll figure out that the microphone is doing an exclamation mark on anything that I'm saying. So there we go. But To All the Nations, part 6. It's not because this is a 6-part series. It's because I have been to 6 nations on mission. And folks, when we're on mission, it includes the United States. That includes us. So everything you hear today is to apply to us as well and to be on mission. And I would love to tell you more about Karim from Guinea, Methuselah from Burundi, Guillermo, not to mention Moni and Tito and Cecilia and a host of others from Argentina. But we don't have time. Together later, because there's so much going on, and we've got to share that. I want to go to the road to Emmaus. Take your Bibles, Luke 24, and we're going to highlight a couple of things just to set us up here, and we're going to come back at the end, and it is very important. So Luke 24 is the road to Emmaus. On the road to Emmaus, there is a Jesus encounter. There's 2 disciples, and they're talking about Christ, how Jesus is no longer in the tomb. This is the resurrection morning. They're on their way from Jerusalem to Emmaus. They're walking, and as they walk, they're talking. One named Cleopas, we get that information. The other is unnamed, but they're talking about Jesus. And they're like, amazing. And all of a sudden, a third joins them. It's the risen Christ. They don't have a clue. They don't have a clue that Jesus is right. He's walking along beside them, and he starts to do something in verse 27. The risen Christ interpreted for them the things concerning himself in all the scriptures. He's pointing them back to what we know as the Old Testament, what they know as the Tanakh, and he tells them about the risen Christ. He uses the word to describe everything that they're trying to piece together in their heads, everything they're trying to figure out. I want you to remember Pastor Tom's word just a couple of weeks ago, that the Bible is how we respond to biblical questions. Jesus is modeling that for us right here. Sometimes we go zip that he is in his public ministry. Anything I can do to help this, Doug? We might have to. Maybe I'll change pockets. Okay, we'll try that for a second, and if not, we'll go there. Okay. Jesus is modeling for us a resurrected lifestyle. He is modeling for us how we are to live with the Holy Spirit, and he answers biblical questions with the Bible, and that's what he's doing. They don't realize it's the risen Christ until he gets to their house. He breaks bread, and they share, and all of a sudden they go, whoa, and they realize. And he disappears. But then they go beating it back to Jerusalem, uphill all the way. And they head back there, and they tell everything that we've been hearing from the women, everything that we've been hearing from Peter, it's true, and I'm going to fetch. And thank you very much. Everything is true. It's a Jesus encounter. And then Jesus appears not just on the road. He appears in the room to the 11 and all of those gathered with them. And he starts to share. They've had a Jesus encounter on the road to Emmaus. There's a Jesus encounter in the upper room. And I'm going to tell you about Jesus encounters today. That's our theme. Keep your finger there. We're coming back to it. I want to share a testimony. And this first testimony is from Ministerio Beersheba, Saldini, Argentina, where we've had work teams going down. And it's absolutely incredible what Pastor Tito and Moni are leading there and their family. But they've added this incredible new shelter outside that you'll be able to use when you go down for the work trips. And also that they get to use within the context of the church. They are expanding things. I got to see some of the work that's been done and what is coming up next. Let's go to the next slide. Because our guys have done amazing things. Over on the left is when I was there in July. The next classroom building, that's what's getting ready to go next. That's the location for it. They've been laying the sidewalks. And then 2 weeks later, it's there on the right-hand side that they've already started digging for the foundation. They're getting ready. They can't hardly wait for our team to come back down. If you are interested, Mike Slaybaugh, would you stand up? Our contact today and maybe for a couple of weeks is going to be Mike Slaybaugh. If you're interested in going to Argentina in December after Christmas, please let Mike know. We're going to start gathering things together. Make sure you've got your passport because we work with them and we do what they need to do, and they are expanding the kingdom and they are having an incredible impact. So I want you to get ready for the next classroom building trip because that's where you're going to be laying bricks and getting stuff ready. But I also want to share with you some blessings. Let's go to this next slide. Here is the building up in the left-hand corner that our folks helped build. It has now been finished. It has been polished off. And some of the funds that you sent not only finished the building, but provided for the flooring that you see in both the classroom building on both diagonals and the ceilings for the buildings. They have been able to finish things that have been just hanging there as concrete or as bare walls, and they've been able to finish it because of the investment that you have made. Here's what the Brethren Church has been doing with missions. We have been taking and supplying for projects, allowing them to do the work of the ongoing support of ministry. And they keep praying for Ministerio Beersheba, our church in Saldini, Argentina. They are working hard to pay the teachers. They are running with the work of running the school as well as the church. But not just that. Here's one of the most amazing things. Next slide In the last year, they've planted a church. They've already worked with one church plant. We're going to get there in a second, but now they've got a second church plant in Ramajo. They meet in a garage. Boom. And you see that yellow thing that looks like a minion there on the with the worship team? That's the best description I have. That's the heat. The only heat. It was the best heat that we had in Saldini. Anyway, moving right along, they've got 12 in the church plant. 12 new believers in a year's time. 12 new believers. And they span from youth to very experienced in age. You know what? A new believer at any age, and it's beautiful. Testimony, second, from Nueva Vida, the New Life Church in New Cordoba. It's amazing. And what they've been doing, I got to preach there on Sunday. It was a glorious thing. They are growing, and the impact that they have with college students is absolutely amazing. They do a service for the college age folks. They come in on Saturday night at 9 o'clock. They stay till way after midnight, maybe 1 or 2 in the morning, and then turn around and they have services on Sunday morning. And you know what? God is moving, and it's incredible because they're filling the place with what's going on next. 10 months, go to the next slide, 10 months, and all they had was a porta potty. And it didn't matter. People still came. They had an accident in the construction of the advancing of their facility, and for 10 months, they couldn't do anything. They were 2 weeks away from new bathrooms, and they had to lock them and leave them that way and use the blue boxes for 10 months, and they still grew, and they still ministered, and they kept growing. And that up in the right-hand corner are parents of their children's ministry that they're breathing into. 80% of everybody that you see their backs there don't come to the church, are non-believers, and they're breathing into them. They're not done. This is what's happening down there, and it's absolutely glorious and wonderful. Jesus encounter on the streets of Cordoba. Next slide. We took the college-age youth out on the streets, and we started praying. They've developed an outreach culture with Nueva Vida, and they don't just go out in the evenings like we were doing and praying on the street. They also take coffee out in the morning. Interesting thing, there is no word in Spanish for homeless. They don't have that word. They call them people who live on the streets. And they take coffee out and they minister to them and they pray for them and they share Jesus with them. And so it's an amazing thing to watch and to see all of that happen. Jesus Encounter, Life Conference. We were there for a college-age conference. This is the Life Conference. I can't tell you everything that we did here, but we prayed on the plazas that we were taking the youth to. These were college-age youth primarily, or junior, senior in high school. And we trained them in the afternoon, early afternoon, and then we took them out in the streets in the afternoon. 3 days. It was incredible. We had 72 that went out. It was really pretty remarkable because we're cracking up. Luke 10 says 72 went out, and we had 72 that went out. And the report is in Luke is that they came back with their hair on fire. Well, they came back with their hair on fire. And I want to highlight a couple of our brethren students. Lucas Serrano is up in the left-hand corner. He was on my team, and he encountered a couple of musicians, and he sat down, and he started talking to them about Jesus. And he came to me afterwards, and he said, I wish you were with me, and I wish you spoke Spanish. I said, why? He says, because they wanted to know about sex in the Bible. You have to be ready for anything. And you have to know what the Scripture says. And if you don't know, you go to the Word, and you find that out. Again, reinforcing what Pastor Tom has been teaching. And it was great, but he breathed into it, and he took it. And then Philippe Serrano, he's in the middle here in the lower right, and you kind of see a little bit of joy on his face. He's telling about a team that he went out, and 3 people accepted Jesus Christ in an hour's time on the team that he was on. He was a changed young man, and he was just so incredibly joyous. I got to tell you about another, I mean, I can't...
I'll tell you more about the Life Conference as you want to know it, because it was incredible, and we'll probably be back again next year. It was all started because of a Revive School from a D group, my D group. Marisol Gomez was one of the students in my D group, and she got this impression that she was supposed to train the college-age youth to pray and to evangelize and to go on mission wherever Lord was telling them. I heard this development, and now she's living it out. At the same time, she started a college. She's in her second year because there's so many more Christian schools in Argentina, and they don't have Christian teachers. So she started a college, and she is training, and some of her students that she's training who are doing this as a second step in life were out with us on the streets. It's incredible. We have to keep moving. A Jesus encounter, a handoff from Argentina to the Philippines. Last year, when Julie and I were in Argentina, and we were at the church, the first church plant that Soldini had done in Fisherton, which is a suburb of Rosario. It's Casa de Bendicion, House of Blessing. And they just blew us away because the children there, this is a drug-infested area. This is an area that's dealing with drug gangs. And they're doing a children's ministry on every Saturday morning. And the children gathered together, and they took a collection of $121 U.S. That's an amazing offering from kids. And they put together a photo collage, and they gave it to me, and they said, we want a relationship with another brethren church that has children who are in crisis like us. I carried this around for a year. Lord, who are we supposed to give this to? Who's supposed to be this way? Remember, Pastor Tom's talked about it. I talked about it when I was here, about hearing from the Lord, and he just revealed it at General Conference. This was supposed to go to Gary Castro at the Philippines. I got to hand it off. So you get to see the beginning and the end of a year's journey, and now the church in the Philippines and the church in Rosario, Argentina, the children are writing back and forth. The leaders are in contact with each other, and they are blessing each other, not just by prayer, but also by content. You can't make this stuff up. But we're not done yet. Let's keep going to the next one. Bridget Stump was able to get a picture of you guys praying over me before I went to Burundi. So this is a picture of the video feed. Okay? We're praying. Do you remember what we prayed for? Pastor Tom, you made sure that we prayed over something that I had. What was that?
Your staph infection.
I had a staph infection. Staph infections, if you've had them, are painful. I was in pain. It was on the lower thigh of my right leg, right where I was going to sit for 13 hours on an airplane. Yippee! Okay. It's absolutely incredible. We prayed for it on Sunday morning. Tuesday, I'm flying in the airplane, and there is no pain. Amen. I want to give testimony to your prayers. You're part of this. Don't miss out on that. And we've got to keep going. Oh, my heavens, we've got more. Wait, there's more. Now we go to Burundi. We finally get there. And there is so much to share in Burundi. Let's go to the next slide. I want you to say this. Amahoro. Would you say that with me? Amahoro. You've just spoken Kirundi, which it means peace. Shalom, very similar to the Hebrew, and they use it for peace as you greet and peace as you leave. And you needed that. This is a picture of me during one of the crusade gatherings. They invited everyone, and especially the leaders, and the leaders from TTR, from Time to Revive, and the leaders of the churches in Burundi to get down in the dirt. And let me tell you, it was dirt. There was a lot of dirt in Burundi. And to get down in the dirt and humble ourselves, because the message was of repentance. And he's calling a nation to repentance. And I gladly got down, and I wanted you to see that. I think I speak for the whole team about how blessed and how challenged we were, and how humbled and how we saw the Lord move. We had the next slide. We had three leadership conferences. Here are pictures of the gatherings. 600, 1,000, 1,300 in the three leadership gatherings. We trained them in the morning, Joel Hellmuth, I'm going to talk about him in just a second. Joel Hellmuth helped lead the training in the morning. We equipped them, and then we sent them out. They were out for 40 minutes at the most, and thousands came to know the Lord. I don't know how they're going to follow up. Pray for them. They have a mammoth task. The local leadership team has a mammoth task to follow up. But it was absolutely incredible of how we saw God move. We didn't just talk about it, we did it. They didn't just talk about it, they did it. And they said, we will start Revive School Groups 2 years in the Bible to know what the Bible says, to be formed by the Word of God, to disciple these people who said yes to Jesus Christ. In case you're wondering how to actually say those community names, it's Nahangwa, Kabezi, and Muha. You're going to hear more about Muha in a little bit. We had crusades, three crusades. They love crusades in Africa. They just do. It's a major tool, and we had three afternoon, evening, multi-hour crusade gatherings. We were humbled and overwhelmed, 20 to 25,000 each crusade. Go to the next slide, and you can see this. There you can see, folks, they're standing in a field, shoulder to shoulder, chest to chest. That's how they rode for 2 hours to get there, and then they stood for several hours that way. Kyle tried to have them sit down for the first teaching time, and they couldn't do it. There wasn't room to move to sit down. They just had to keep standing. And we saw Jesus Christ move. But that's not everything. Next slide. I want to tell you, I am so proud of Joel Hellmuth. Joel has done an amazing work. He's going to share later. He is actually taking some time off. He is on a Sabbath. And he's going to be on a Sabbath for the next week and just rejuvenating after 8 weeks of constant ministry time and travel and all of that. It's really incredible what God's done, and I was just so proud. I was just giddy proud watching him as he trained. And I'd love to tell you about Metusela, who's translating for Joel. You'll have to ask me about him because he's now one of my spiritual sons. There's a lot here. But there's more. Wait, there's more. I sound like because there's a Jesus encounters of major proportion with Amazi water. Next slide. Amazi means water in their native language. So it's water, water, pizza, pizza. You know, it's that kind of a thing. But Amazi Water is a Christian organization. They are bringing and digging wells for the people of Burundi. They are bringing clean drinking water to the people of Burundi. They're focused on Burundi. They're on track to actually have clean drinking water in the entirety of the nation by 2030. We went with them to the villages. We had three teams a day for 5 days. So we went to 15 villages and we shared the gospel. Amazi helped us because they provided the transportation, they provided translators, and they provided their own people. When they build a well, they don't just build a well and say, thank you very much, go get water. No, they keep coming back and train them in a discipline of healthy drinking and healthy care for it and all of those kinds of things. They really do provide clean water. And they say, we're here in the name of the one who provides living water. But reason why, and you can see one of their wells here on the left, but the reason why this unimpressive picture of us sitting with the Amazi water people around a conference room, it's like, how does God show up in a conference room? Our mission was a mission of repentance. And Amazi water leadership said, you have changed our ministry. Their people came back and said, we now know how to share the gospel. They said, we are a Christian ministry. We have been serving in this nation for several years, and we have never shared the gospel. You showed us how. It will not be the same from this point forward. And the national leadership team of Revive School in Burundi and the Amazi water people are going to continue going out and sharing the living water of Jesus Christ. That's powerful. But we're not done yet. Next, Here's in the villages. It was absolutely incredible to watch and to see. And, to, you know, remember this whole type of thing, you know, you talked about don't get sidetracked. Notice Amazi Water got sidetracked. And now they're back on track. Here in the villages, we saw God do amazing stuff. I got to teach. I got to tell the story of the woman at the well. The guy up at the top, his name's Joseph. I actually call him a man of Issachar. Because he stood up, because he, in 1 Chronicles 12:32, the men of Issachar understood the times and knew what to do. And it changed the atmosphere of the village. We saw that atmosphere change because a man of God stood up and understood this is about Jesus. This is about a relationship with Jesus. And it opened up the village. It was amazing to watch what God did. And this lady here, I got to pray over her. And she said yes to Jesus the day that we were there. And the tears are running down her face, and the tears are running down my face. This was a primarily Muslim village. And she stood up in the midst of this, amongst her neighbors, amongst those who believe in Islam, and said, I say yes to Jesus, and she was baptized. Amen. Oh, heavens. Howie, I think you'll have to cut out the next part, you know, as you do this, because I'm going as fast as I can. Oh, my golly, because we got a video. Go to the next slide. Some of you, this is the foot washing on the Muha Day of Communes. The Tutsi and the Hutu have been at war for generations. You have heard of the stuff in Rwanda. Rwanda is next door. The same tribes are here in Burundi. Folks, the tribes were formed by white missionaries coming from Germany and Belgium. They worked together. They lived together. They interacted until the white missionaries separated them into tribes to control them. And then the hatred developed because one tribe got the bonuses and the other tribe didn't. We knew about this. We knew about this and we knew that background, and we were praying through it as we went to Burundi. But that the Day of Communes in Muha province, Muha commune, we didn't know what was going on, but all of a sudden they're doing a play right in front of us and depicting the white missionary. And the locals are embarrassed. We're not embarrassed, we're ashamed. And on a spontaneous moment, Kyle washed feet of representatives from each of the tribes. Brethren, as brethren, we understand foot washing. Every pastor we talked to had never seen that done before. Where is that in the Bible? And we got to breathe into it. So we're going to share the video. You've got to see it, and you can get this, but it's on YouTube. But we're going to go to a video so we describe this, and then you can skip over that.
In the 20th century, white European colonizers came to the land disguised as missionaries. To keep control, the colonizers divided the people into tribes. This led to strife and ultimately genocide. We sat down amongst the people and we watched as the locals put on a play depicting the history of the land. And a person stood up in the skit and acted as a white missionary and divided the people into the tribes.
I was planning on talking about Zacchaeus and how he was hungry to learn more about Jesus, but after watching the skit, I realized that the Holy Spirit wanted me to switch gears. That message didn't necessarily need to be shared with word, it actually needed to be shared in action.
What happened in Burundi was real. And I want to say something. I want to ask for forgiveness. And on behalf of the white man, I'm sorry that a white man led to a lot of problems. I want you to have a different perspective of me. I'm a missionary. I left my family to come to Burundi. I come with a posture of repentance. Do we happen to have a representation from the Hutus, Tutsis, and the Twa? I just need one representation. Do I have anybody out here?
I
would like one. Keep it there, please. Thank you. Can you guys sit down, please? What tribe?
Hutu.
And?
Mutwa.
So I need a Tutsi. Thank you. Your name? Jesus Christ in Scripture. He washed his disciples' feet. I want to ask for forgiveness by washing your feet. Thank you. Hey, please, your heart. Are you in approval of me washing feet of these three tribes?
Yes, it is no problem.
Jesus is the answer. Amen.
Amen.
Thank you.
Murakoze cyane.
This was a moment that set ripples in the spiritual world. I've got tons more, but this is the essence. I want you to go back to Luke 24. This is what Jesus then says to them. Then he told them, "These are my words that I spoke to you while I was still with you, that everything written about me in the law of Moses, the prophets, and the Psalms must be fulfilled." Then he opened their minds to understand the scriptures. And then here comes three verses that have just been resonating in my heart for the last couple of weeks. He also said to them, "This is what is written." Folks, you've got to know what is written. You've got to know what's in the Word of God. This is powerful. This is what is life-changing. This is where truth is. I've got tons of places in this message today where I had reference to messages that you've been doing over the last month. We haven't been able to do that. But notice this. It's what's written. God has given it to us. The Messiah would suffer and rise from the dead the third day. And repentance for forgiveness of sins would be proclaimed in his name to all the nations. A message of repentance for forgiveness of sins would be proclaimed in his name to all the nations. That includes the United States, that includes Burundi, that includes Argentina, that includes all the nations. And all means? There you go. This is part of the calling. And it began at Jerusalem. But notice in verse 48,
you are witnesses of these things. That means we have a calling. That means we have a purpose. That means we have a mission, and we are to tell. We are to share. Please, let others have encounters with Jesus. If you get nothing from this today, it's that people are having encounters with Jesus, and it is changing things. It's changing the atmosphere. It's changing nations. We've had testimony of it today already, even in our own community, even in neighboring states, but this is the calling. And the end is going to come when this is preached to the whole world. You said that a couple of weeks ago. And about hastening. Message of repentance to the nations. This is my calling. A friend of mine retired from ministry on Friday, and he used a term that I've been looking for 2 years. I haven't retired, folks. I've been redeployed. And that's, I've been looking for that word for 2 years. And within this ministry and in this calling, I'm taking on another role. I am now team lead for all the regional directors. And we're reaching the world, but we're not done. Because Revive United States begins in January, and the nations are coming. America's at a crossroads. I think you already just said that. I think you already just said that. It's coming in January, and the nations are coming. Part of the reason why Joel and I probably won't make it to with the work trip is we'll have about 10 internationals coming about the same time. So get ready, because they're praying for us. Father, I ask your anointing, I ask your help, I ask your presence on us. We need you, Lord. We desperately need you. And you've called us to repent. We bow down, we lay our crowns at the feet of Jesus. Lord, your word says that we get 5 crowns that we get to use in eternity. But the 24 elders in Revelation 6 says, you give them back. We get the benefits to give them back because of what God has done for us, what Jesus has done for us, how the Holy Spirit is moving in us. And we say, holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty. And we thank you, Lord, because you're not done with us yet. And I pray for Napanee. I pray for Indiana. I pray for the United States. And I pray for a message of repentance to move across this land and for lives to be changed for eternity. To you be the glory and the honor and the praise in Jesus' name. Amen and amen.
Let's give Jesus a praise offering. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Father, you are on the move. God, you are on the move. You are moving amongst the nations, and Lord, you have a refocus also, Lord, for this nation. We so often forget and think that we are just a Christian nation, but Lord, there are places throughout this country that are considered lost people groups because they don't know about Jesus. Lord, we are pressing in as a congregation, as our mission partners to reach the least, the last, the lost, Lord. Lord, may you receive all praise, honor, and glory as we work to hasten your coming. Thank you, Lord, for using people like us. And we pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen. Let us stand for our final song.